update us on Brian Little's status?
He's been cleared for contact to play. So he got through today, felt okay. We'll see how he comes in tomorrow. But I'm not going to confirm that he's in the lineup until we have another conversation.
You said a few days back that maybe you'd ease him in too. You had him at number two center today. Is that where you would use him if he can play here?
Yeah, easing is, I mean, I can get him in the three hole with the way I structured the lines today if he's a player, right?
Yeah. What would he bring to your team if he could play? Like, what have you missed about him?
A little piece of everything, because he's really good on the power play for us in terms of knowing the structure. He's part of the penalty kill, and then and I've liked Andrew. I mean, Andrew Kopp has played very, very well. I think both the guys on the wings, for the most part, Nicky's been strong. Like, he's had some good games for us, and Kyle's kind of building, coming back in. I think with the three of them, you know, there is some chemistry there between Kyle and Brian. And some of it's just having spent some time together, they know where each other's going to be. So it was a real learning experience to have Andrew there. And they have a little more of a comfort level with Brian.
Andrew, I guess, brings a little more speed, but Brian maybe a little more finishing offense.
I don't know if there's a disparity in speed between the two. No. I don't feel that at all. I think it's just experience on the one and a different style of game left. You know, so we would have three left-handed shots on that line when Copper's there. It does change what you see in the offensive zone, so having a righty there helps.
One last one for me. You mentioned shot blocking yesterday. You weren't happy with only four. Given that, you know, in Arizona, Homerson just broke his leg blocking a shot, how much of a factor is the fear factor? Is that something players have to overcome when a guy just breaks his leg two nights earlier?
I think you get used to it as you get older. I think you, and I might be way off, but you guys can ask Murat after. It's a thing you see on older teams, right? That's the usually the age of your team is somewhat correlated to shot blocking. Might be way off on that, but I'm pretty sure the Islanders are way up, and St. Louis would be up there. So it is a learned skill as well. We have a different style of winger here. We've got some really quick, more slightly built guys that didn't get to the National League blocking shots. So there's a different way to do it. And we've pressured the points very aggressively so as to force the puck move before the guy's time to wind up. Some teams' D-zone coverage is very compact, which means they're blocking shots. So we still think that we can discourage the shot with speed. I felt last night we got trapped in the middle and didn't do either.
Just going through the injury list, Paul, Anthony Boteto, any more on his?
Day-to-day lower body.
Would it be something where you would maybe recall a defenseman prior to tomorrow night? Or?
Yeah, Kevin will have to make that decision.
Mark Letestu, any update on?
We're waiting for some tests to be done. So nothing's going to happen until those get scheduled.
And then a player we haven't asked about a bit here, but Nathan Beaulieu, I think the timeline was about 4 weeks. That was 2.5 weeks ago. Is he still on track for 10 days or so?
4 weeks is when the window opens. So we're comfortable with what we know at the healing now. And so that would be a Sunday, I think the 27th possibly. It's a practice day before, after the game, the Regina game. And then prior to the Anaheim game, that's when we'll look for that window to open.
Just on Boteto, what did you know about him before the season, and how did you think he was fitting in, and what do you like
so
about him?
So that's what you learn about him. I mean, the video you can watch, so you have a pretty good idea of the player, but you know, we had two or three really good sources from the Nashville room about his character and about the kind of person he is, and he's lived up to that. He's talking nonstop on the bench, on the ice, in practice, in the locker room. He's got a great accent, a few funny stories. So he's a character. And because of that, he kind of gets connected to every player really quickly. For a new guy, he's not the shy kid in the classroom that you don't get to know to Christmas like everybody knew him. He had three nicknames within the first week, so that's a tell.
11 shifts and 6 minutes of ice time for David Gustafson last night, Paul. Just not much, but what did you think of his?
It's an awful lot more than he got the game before, though, isn't it? Yeah, I liked him. I liked his right from camp. A version of a guy that I had, 18 years ago, the late Joe Wasichuk came out of junior as a captain, first European captain, I think, in the Ontario Hockey League, and we had him going to the minors. Never looked twice at him, really, and then halfway through camp, we said there's a chance he could play on our fourth line. Came out of camp on our third line and never left it, like because he was just safe, and then you knew he was going to kind of get better. I've got him in the lineup tomorrow night, whether Brian Little plays or not, based on the 6 minutes that I saw, and we'll see what he does from there.
Paul, you referenced Carl Dahlstrom kind of being on the NHL's longest road trip. What has the coaching staff done to kind of integrate him, and how has he fit in so far?
Well, we have a package that every player sees when they come in, and they go through the video part of it, and then we talk to him an awful lot. I like his range. I like the way he thinks the game. You sit him down early on, and you have the new players take you through the other team's systems. And it really is a great tell for how they process the game, and he was exceptionally detailed on what Chicago does and how they play. So he's the thinker of the game, and we like where he's at. We think there's more there, but he's a big body. We don't have a lot of that on the back end, and he covers some ice pretty well. Get more and more comfortable with the puck. He's starting to make some good inside plays with the puck, and we think there's some upside there.
What are some of those biggest challenges when you're joining a new team in the season like that, and a guy who went on waivers for the first time, sort of all those other business aspects that you're trying to process in terms of, and also trying to find a new place and all those other things?
I don't know that it's any different than anybody who changes jobs and goes to a different company, right? There's different policies and procedures that they follow, and you might be in the same line of work, but there's new relationships to be forged. We play a different system than a defensive system that Chicago would, so there's a bit of a learning curve there, and then there's chemistry with a partner. We started him on his offside, which he's played before, and got him back to his natural side. He's clearly more comfortable there. So the players in the room are really important in that process as well. So he's kind of sitting on the side wall with all the other new guys, because they're all playing defense, and they're all kind of huddling together and talking hockey quite a bit.
What makes Jack a good fit with Adam and Andrew?
Well, Jack was good at center, but not quite effective enough to get more minutes at center. And then when he went to the wing, now he's starting to look like a fit man, right? He's starting to drive a little bit. He's got some skill. So I think that there's a couple of places. He can move around the lineup now more. He's really in some ways in his almost his first full NHL year. You know, he's pretty sure he's in the lineup most nights. This year, he's starting to drive play. He's starting to know when he can be really aggressive with the puck. There's a lot of the loop has come out of the game. The parts of the game where he's not engaged in watching, which is a real young thing, those are starting. I've liked his, we've had a couple of tough nights here, but I've liked his last two nights on the wing. And I think he can do a job in a couple of different places, but one of them, it was what you saw today with Kopp and Lowry. Like, they're an unusual, those two guys are unusual in that they, when they're on, their checking game is to play in the offensive zone, but they haven't played with a lot of finish because there aren't a lot of offensive guys, that young guys especially, that can defend. But what Jack does, what did the last two nights, was he was played so damn hard, you don't spend a lot of time defending. You play in the other team's end, and he's on the puck. So, and it's a version of what Tanev would do, right? Real, real quick, get on the puck. Not a lot of plays got made, but because of the chaos and the confusion and the quickness and the energy that Tanev brought, Jack's done the same thing the last 2 days, so there may be even an upside. Andrew Kopp has developed as a player. We think there's an offensive upside there, and Lowry has never played in that role that he's in, but with kind of offensive guys that could do both. So I'm interested. I think there's a chance that could be a real good line for us.
Is there one specific that stands out for you from the Islander game that you want to rectify it tomorrow, or you really focus on?
I liked our first and thirds an awful lot. The second period was the one that we really didn't like, and it was all about puck support against the, you know, they got a real veteran team there. They don't make a whole lot of mistakes. They kind of hide their offensive line. They've got almost three checking lines and an offensive line, and we opened the game up because we were uncomfortable in a tight game like that, and that was really dangerous for us. But I thought that period kind of set us up to win the next three games, and we need to get right back to that. It's going to be a short pass game. It's going to be, there'll be 10 guys within 20 feet of that puck, and it's going to get ground from one end to the other.
Billy back in?
Yes.
Just to catch up to things, is the shot blocking all about 5-on-5, the PK, or both? I think you mentioned it with respect to the PK.
Yeah, I'm... kind of gotten to the point I understand our 5-on-5 shot blocking isn't going to be up in the top 4 or 5. We're not built like that. Don't necessarily, as alluded, don't necessarily want to be laying down 30 feet off Shea Weber's shot. Like, we're not built to do it, so we're not. But the PK is a non-optional place. That I mean, we're getting beat by flank shots now that can't get to our net.
And a couple nights ago, the power play had sort of a slow night, and then it looked really quick.
It was very kind, by the way, very kind.
The PK was sort of what you attributed part of the loss to. So what's the step forward for that? What does it need to do better, you know, aside from those shot blocks?
Well, we've got to find some pairs and some chemistry there. That's our job, and then we got to get a heck of a lot quicker, right? We're just slow with what we're doing. We're slow getting in lanes. So it would be the exact same thing that we talked about the power play. I mean, using the same words to describe where our power play needed to get to and got to, I think, last night. And at times early in the year, we had just gotten slow with it, right? We don't want to make a mistake. We're not sure if we want to be in that lane. And it's a little bit of energy and some quickness. I mean, Brian would be a boost to have him back. He and Kyle were a real effective group coming off the bench second. Just confidence and quickness.